World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Drive-In Church in Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
I want to talk about something in this next 25, 30 minutes that really the church doesn't understand. As I've preached with multiple denominations and in our own church here, one of the things that we've talked about, and yet it is so elusive to people, and it's something that I've just noticed. It's the final frontier for me as far as my ability to do things for the kingdom of God. It's an unknown area that I'm still growing and developing in. It is a realm that is impossible to determine with science, and that is what a human being can do when they have learned to tap into the abilities of the heart. Now, our problem today is that much of our vernacular and our words have different meanings. 80 words in the King James Bible, at least, don't even mean the same thing in our modern language. Example, charity. You know, charity in the King James, it means the love of God, love. Today, no one uses that word because it means helping somebody out, being charitable. And there's just so many phrases and nuances that even once you understand the English and translation, it's still a mystery. Because according to the Bible, Holy Spirit must teach it to you. And so there is this protection over the realm of releasing supernatural ability into this world through healing, leadership, etc., that the world can never achieve too. They can touch it and they can understand it through their thinking on subconscious belief systems, but they can never touch the depths of what a born-again believer should be able to walk in. Whether you are a dad, a mom, a grandpa, a grandma, whether you're a business person, it doesn't matter the area. There is a level, there is an arena, there is a season that is prepared for you and I that stuns people. And even scientists who begin to look at human beings, and the best they could say is, you know, something like, imagination is everything, or things like that, or people get mystical. I want to talk to you about this thing called the heart. You see, a relationship with Holy Spirit determines the depth of the penetration of God's Word in your heart and the resulting ability that comes out of you. In Acts chapter 1, it talks about that this power would come upon you. And that word power is hard to ratchet down, but it literally includes the power of success, the power of governing, the power of leading people, companies, the power of living morally, the power that is in an individual who begins to tap into this area of heart. And we don't have another word, so I'm going to continue to use that word. You see, your heart needs to be persuaded with the Word of God. And His Spirit is what helps your heart to be changed. What happens in your heart is what connects you to the miracle you need right now. You see, believing, it's not an intellectual happening. It's something that occurs at the heart level over the years I've noticed something. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I have noticed the more brilliant a person trains their mind, the fewer miracles they see. Because they become so dependent upon the mind, which is a beautiful gift from God to manage and administrate your life, that it's hard for them to grasp that flowing from the heart is creative power. This creative power can create new seasons, inventions. It can touch the human body's cellular structure, DNA. It can prophetically know direction for companies, businesses. It can know things that the five senses can't grasp, but yet can know it so clearly that there is an accuracy there. It is something that happens so deeply that it affects the way you think and feel. Your emotions get involved because of the stunning things that take place in this thing called your heart. It is something that alters the way you see yourself. And this is a huge one. It alters the way you see yourself. And it happens instantaneously without effort. A man came to Jesus, for example, and said, "Do something about my son. Can you please do something?" You know, his belief system is God's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus, why don't you do something here? Jesus turns to him and says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to you who believes." And did you know that in 30 seconds, something happened at the heart level? There was a correction that took place that isn't explained in this situation. And all of a sudden, wham, that miracle took place. The renewing of the mind is crucial for you to learn and to study the scriptures. That's vital. But when the heart begins to be changed, it is without effort. It is something you can grasp, but you can't learn. It's something that you can experience and live in that experience, but you can't earn. And so religion absolutely destroys the way God designed business people to live, designed government leaders to live, designed moms and dads and teenagers to live with the most astounding abilities that would make the world's mouth drop at the intuitiveness, at understanding things. All of this stuff is so far beyond where we've been. And it's exciting for me because my Christianity, my ability to follow Jesus, the more I get into this thing, the more I realize that what is ahead of me is stunning. The Bible has a saying that the Apostle Paul said, and everybody messes it up. He says, "When I am weak, then he is strong." To you guys, it's kind of like the NOS button, the nitrous oxide button on the race cars. You know, if you're dragging around and you're going through the gears and you got the best motor you can find and you're going for it and you're lined up and all of a sudden you push this button and this nitrous oxide gets injected and it slams you into the seat as this thing takes off like a rocket. That little button is stunning. There is a place for us that is so stunning, but religion and staying stuck in the mind has destroyed our ability to walk. And I'm not going to use the word miraculous because then Christians think, "I'm going to leave the country and God's going to show me what to do." Well, of course he will. But you need to grow and learn. Solomon had wisdom in every area. And so when we look at this ability to think from the heart, to listen to God from the heart, and that all the miraculous flows out of the heart, not out of the head, there's a stunning place ahead for you. Listen to this verse, and maybe you'll see it a little bit differently now. This is the only way we'll know in 1 John 3:19, we're living, truly living in God's reality. is that we must shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts. All right, let's just stop right there, because there's something here that you've got to understand. When you look at the heart, if you've never moved even for a little bit into the sense of the old timers called it the anointing, the presence of God in your life, that all of a sudden, whoa, and you go, whoa, I was good. No, you weren't good. That was the presence of God flowing out of your heart. It can bring miracles in your physical body. It can bring a monologue in business that you go, how did I piece that together? How could I be such a wordsmith? As the supernatural ability of God flows through you in whatever areas that you are working. It could be surgery. I know people who follow Christ as Savior and Lord, and you just kind of go, why is that person so lucky? How come there's such, it's called favor. And I have found that when I understand this area of heart and I do the work with Holy Spirit in the Word, that I no longer have to work in my weaknesses, and that the limits of my physical strength, the limits of my leadership ability, the limits of my ability to be a good father, a good husband, a good friend, to sense and know the future, to guide organizations and to make decisions that others just shake their head, that it's not in my head, it's not in this is my giftedness, it's in this ability to deal with the heart. Every one of us, I love the way this version puts this, we have debilitating things in our heart that literally it shuts us down, that we are so self-critical. And then it says, deal with it. No, it's not what it says. And this is what I love about it. It says, God is greater than your worried heart. When a heart has something like worry in it, it determines the future. To not understand this, I just call it the last frontier, this area that no one seems to have moved into and stayed. I mean, healing evangelists will touch in it. I mean, great leaders and generals have touched it. That this area that we need to walk in is what is going to take. And it doesn't require you earning it. It doesn't require you laboring for it. But Holy Spirit's job is to make these transitions inside of you that happen effortlessly.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you ever feel like there must be more to life? Do you feel you're capable of so much more? Do you long to see God's miraculous power working through your life? If you answered yes to any of those questions, this series by Leon Fontaine is for you. In this three-part series, discover how Holy Spirit can work through you and how you can gain clear direction for your future.
Join this team, pray for us, believe with us, and Destined for More. This series is about the fact that so many people hit a ceiling and they don't go any further. And we begin to help them deal and dive in an amazing way to rise up and to do greater things.
You are destined for more. Experience the excitement, passion, and joy of being led by the Spirit. Get your copy of Destined for More today.
It is impossible to only focus on one. I have friends and acquaintances in ministry. Everything is about Holy Spirit. Their language is so ooey gooey. They keep developing words that are so mystical. They prophetically say things in a way that you don't know where they're going as they predict and say, and the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. And it's a whole area of belief amongst certain denominations. And then I've got people over here, the word, 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 the word. They move out emotion, they move out anything. And they both have a certain amount of understanding. But this incredible dance of Holy Spirit revealing the Word of God to you has a profound effect on your heart. It causes you to rise up with such self-assurance that people will call you proud and arrogant because you don't seem to be affected by the thing that is making them almost wet their pants. And I want you to understand something, that according to the Bible, you do not know something till you can do it. And this has been one of the greatest hindrances to the body of Christ rising up, is that to know it intellectually causes pride. It does. Boy, I've talked with people and they just think because they know it that they're amazing. But there's a line in the Bible that we've kind of misunderstood where Jesus says, if you will love me, you will obey me. Now let's talk about that. Of course he means morally. He means serving him. But there's a deeper depth to obedience. It also has within this phrase that to know something is to you could say physically, relationally, but for you to obey it in this world. See, it's one thing to know the rules. It's another thing to obey. If God says, go into everywhere in your world and share the gospel, to not obey that. If he says, lay your hands upon the sick. If he says, prosper and be blessed so you can be a blessing. Now, we tend to think of obedience only from this area of morality, which is crucial and vital, but not in the area of living out our incredible lives for God. You are called to walk in, to experience, and to function in the teachings of God's Word, which means that you are going to know things via the Spirit of God, which means you still train your mind in incredible ways, because then as you walk out the leadership, the parenting, there is going to be such power. When Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. He somehow, and he's trying to teach it in different ways. You'll find this teaching on the heart. You'll find this teaching of the Spirit of God. Now, you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks there about praying for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. Now, this knowledge of God doesn't mean simply in the thinking of it. It means in the experiencing and the producing of it. It's like, you know, Isaac, he was grieving, and it says he went into the tent and knew his wife. It doesn't just mean he had a conversation. No, it means they made love. He knew her. There was something going on here. And so when it says that we need the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, everyone thinks a revelation of understanding with your brain, but that's not what it means. It literally means a lifting of the veil, so that you walk in a recognition in your mind, yes, but it comes out of your heart. Listen close. I'm going to give you something that really helped me. My misbeliefs, the wrong beliefs of my heart, they roar at you. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. Nobody. And it just, this unbelief, these wrong things that life and religion and parenting and your judgments of things that have happened to you cause your heart to form deep beliefs that you don't even know what they are, but they are controlling you in some area, and everybody here knows one. You might not know the belief, but you know where you struggle. You know where you have a hard time being confident and assured and bearing fruit. And until your relationship with God doesn't just involve the learning of the Word to obey what it says, but a relationship with Holy Spirit, something begins to happen at a deeper level. And you can expect that the promises of the Word, that you can expect that focusing especially on the finished work of Jesus, it will open up this heart. And out of it will flow forces and issues and rivers that only Holy Spirit can help you guide them when it comes to these areas of your giftedness and your ability to influence your marriage, your family, and to rise up succeeding in life, financing the kingdom, rising up in business and education and government, because the church is to lead. My closing thought, I want to say this to you. Religion has really hurt us, especially when you're around religious groups that have always taught to be passive, always taught that we just bow our heads and let them do what they want to us. And they'll find scriptures and take them out of context. And it has literally crippled the Church of Jesus Christ. Because from there, we shouldn't be in politics. We shouldn't be leaders. If we see a believer rising up in an area, he must be proud. He's done something wrong. I've had a group of pastors say, we just wonder where you've compromised in your life to have a ministry so big. I didn't even know what to think about that one. That's ignorance gone to seed. Because the general thinking that is passed around is that if you're a Christian or a follower of Christ, then you are the lowest of the low. You stay poor, you stay dumb, you stay with no influence. You walk around saying, bless you, God bless you, and you should be like me, come to church. You should be like me and serve Jesus. And none of that is what the gospel is when Jesus says in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and more abundantly. That's what he's saying. And so a defeated gospel, listen to me, it's going to cost you your marriage. It's going to cost you your kids. It's going to cost you your grandkids, because no kid wants to grow up and say, take me to a pathetic, passive place where everybody does nothing about changing their government, nothing about changing their schools, nothing about speaking up, does nothing, and oh, I want to join you. We have so many years to catch up on a horrible gospel that isn't even the gospel. And as we walk this out with wisdom, our children at younger and younger ages will begin to function from the heart. And as they do, the ability, the courage, the faith that rises up in them will take them to places of education and learning and leadership and management, administration and handling wealth, handling power, influencing nations and greater. These things will not happen with a lasting result unless we begin. And what I love about the Word of God is that it will only take place with a genuine desire to know Holy Spirit, to know His Word, and to begin to use it in all your education. If you people that are in college, school, listen, God wants you to learn. Get that degree. Rise up. Trust Him that you can have the mind of Christ. When you write exams, recognize that the Bible says Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance that you need to know. We need to equip your ability to go do things you could never do is the heart. This connection point between your ability with your mind and your body to succeed in this life, the heart, is that doorway into the Spirit. And as you pay attention to it, and I've done much teaching on this, but take me seriously, that there will be a season ahead of you that you will shake your head. You will shake your head. Sally and I, in conversations, we just shake our head. We just say, why, God, why did you use us and what we've seen so far? And why do we think so big for what's what? And we begin to recognize it's not us, but it's this beautiful combination of Christ in you, Colossians chapter 1, the hope of God's glory in every arena of society. Man, He wants to use you. Wow, you're incredible as to what God could do with you. Let's make sure that we don't just educate the mind. Please educate your mind. I'm not going to go to a brain surgeon that can just pray well. We need this beautiful combination, but do not forget that all through both covenants, the heart is a primary focus as God begins to use people to change nations. One man, One woman can change the destiny of a nation. One man, one woman can see stunning miracles that a whole country can't do. Let's know him. Amen. Father, I just pray for those today who are listening. I'm asking for a supernatural revelation at the heart level. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of their heart, would be opened. And Father, the constant connection with you and your word would bring them into arenas we've never seen done yet. And all the Old Testament figures who looked ahead in awe as to what we have, we'd actually begin to live out lives greater than anything they've done. If you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, He has given you the right to choose. So if you will choose Him, He will come in just by that choice. All you've got to say is just say, Jesus, I give you my life, come into my heart. I choose you as Lord and Savior. Just say that. And for the rest of my life, guide me, lead me in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome. That choice is yours.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media